Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Thief Mage of Ziamodianth by Michael Anderley, narrated by Emily Beresford. Chapter 1. Broken walls reached to the sky, their jagged outlines softened in places by vines that twisted among themselves and grasped the slowly eroding structures for purchase. The ruined city of Tolon, half-elven, encircled the mountain, a shadow of its former self. Untold riches and long-hidden secrets lay in its depths, and adventurers sought their fortunes both in its remains and beneath them. Sometimes they stayed with the coveted treasure, their bones part of the landscape and chewed on by rats in the dark. Mercenaries also delved into the mountain and ignored the legends that said a dragon had burst out of its depths and shattered it in two. The beast was reputed to have brought the demise of Tolan's kingdom and the death of the half-elf king, but it had long since disappeared, and there were doubts as to whether it had existed at all. Weren't dragons what mothers scared their little children with to keep them in line? Now, the ruins of this once glorious city lay in a wide circle at the mountain's foot, home to the monsters who'd appropriated it when its creators had fled. Orcs and hobgoblins laid claim to large territories among the shattered walls and disputed borders in short, fierce skirmishes. Goblins and bugbears vied for space or lived in uneasy cohabitation and preyed on the small creatures that abounded amidst the vegetation that slowly reclaimed the ruins. In an area of newly shot grass and tough-leaved bushes, several rabbits browsed cautiously. The musky smell of dug-up earth clawed at the senses. A small deer grazed nearby, and its large ears twitched, alert for the slightest hint of danger. The overgrown cobbles of the street beyond were empty, and the tumbled walls around their makeshift glade provided shelter from the cool spring breeze. It was a brief time of peace, one that exploded with shouts and roars and the clank of overfilled treasure sacks being dragged at speed out of a building across the street.
"You're not here to dance with them, you idiots! Now run!"
roared an older man, his silver hair drawn into a short braid that protruded from beneath a gleaming helm. An arrow bounced off the side of his headgear and he flinched, then ducked as he raised a shield to block the three bolts that followed. All thunked into his protective barrier, and he scowled with the knowledge that he'd have to pull them out later. Those with him obeyed and dragged several bulky sacks from the building and into the street. Several men raised their heads to get their bearings before they scrambled over the walls and scared the deer. It bolted, and the rabbits vanished into their warren, but the mercenaries didn't notice. A young woman was the last out of the building, and her dark hair whipped around her while she clutched several scrolls to her chest.
"Sorry, Claude!"
she yelled, and jinked to one side in time to avoid the two spears that followed her out the door.
"You're sorry?" the helmed mercenary roared. "Sorry? Who woke them?"
Kaelin Knight grimaced, but didn't stop running. She'd hear all about her misdemeanor later once they'd reached the shelter of the final rest. She bounded over the low wall behind which the deer had grazed, heard the roar of their pursuers, and amended her assessment hastily. If they made it to the rest. The fortified inn and best defensive location seemed a long way off in that moment. A gauntleted fist closed around her upper arm, and Claude stepped alongside her. He steadied her as he hauled her through a half-collapsed doorway and into another grass-floored room with a ceiling full of sky.
"You're sorry?"
he asked, and Kaelin glanced over her shoulder. Amidst roars of outrage and fury, several large humanoids had barreled out of the building in pursuit. Shaggy and built like small ogres, they were dressed in crude leather armor. They roared louder when they discovered it was still daylight and the sun hurt their eyes. Their bestial features reminded her of something that was a blend of orc and bear, especially when they were enraged. And that's certainly what they were now. The sunlight made them even angrier, but they hadn't given up. She wrinkled her nose as their stench wafted after the fleeing mercenaries.
"The spell worked, didn't it?"
she argued, and their company leader rolled his eyes.
"Right up until you stuck your hand up the witch doctor's butt!"
He pulled her forward.
"I did not!"
Kaelin protested as they leapt another pile of rubble in tandem. The carts were a short distance ahead, and the rest of the company was busy loading their sacks of pilfered treasure into the back.
"It was his pouch!"
She resisted the urge to wave the scrolls at him in case she lost her hold on them.
"Like that's any better!"
Claude snapped, but she wasn't finished.
I need the magic, she insisted. Knowledge doesn't grow on trees around here. Well, not this knowledge.
They reached the wagon and skidded to a halt. Before he could reply, one of the mercenaries trotted forward and pried the scrolls gently out of her arms.
You're gonna need your hands for this.
He nodded at the pissed-off creatures behind them when she tried to pull them away.
I'll put these onto the driver's seat.
Reassured, she relinquished them into his hands, but didn't miss the pat Claude laid on the man's shoulder.
She wasn't that difficult to deal with, damn it.
You need to keep that drakeling of yours under control.
Their leader growled his irritation.
I don't care how much he thinks he's a dragon.
The drakeling in question chose that moment to swoop in and twittered in alarm as he alighted on the wagon near the reins.
And now he thinks he can drive a wagon, Claude added.
Kaelin turned to look in the direction the creature had come from, and his warning rattled through her head.
They're coming! A horde of them!
He sent and reinforced the message with a picture of 20 of the large, shaggy humanoids racing through the ruins after them.
He was worried I was being crushed, she retorted in defense of her dragon.
You were being crushed,
one of the other mercenaries retorted sharply as he helped to load another chest into the back of the wagon. Several of the team laughed.
Well, you wouldn't have been if you'd stuck to the plan,
Claude rumbled and positioned himself in front of her. He held his blade in one hand and pushed her back with the other. Angry bellows bounced off the surrounding walls, and she was sure the ruckus could be heard even from as far away as the rest.
At least they'll be ready to open the gates,
she stated, as the first bugbear lurched into the street behind them.
We've got to get to the rest first,
Claude all but snarled, as several mercenaries filled the space between them and the oncoming monsters.
Honestly, what in all the hairy hells was your lizard thinking?
That a flame up the skirt was the best way to get their shaman to get off me?
Kaelin suggested, and swiped a hand across the air in front of her, so the mercenaries were hidden behind a newly sprouted wall that still displayed the expected signs of disuse and disrepair. She hoped their adversaries didn't know the area well enough to remember the wall didn't exist. After a glance behind them to see the mercenaries still struggling to get their treasure into the wagons, she looked around for something that might distract their angry pursuers. It took her a few heartbeats to see the potential in a nearby row of pillars and focus her next spell. This one would be a little more difficult, not least because she needed to maintain light contact with her wall illusion to maintain it.
Shalana Evek,
she murmured as her hands moved through the motions of a slightly more complex illusion.
Damn, girl,
the team leader murmured as the pillars shuddered, then rippled into the forms of several mercs, including Claude and herself. A carefully directed series of fire and lightning orbs assisted the illusion, and the bugbears turned toward the columns with cries of rage. The captain shifted his arm and slid it around her waist to steady her as he pulled her back.
That book was a good investment, he muttered.
How do you think I got that many of them to fall asleep?
She retorted as Wyvra flew into the pillars.
Elven techniques help to extend what a usually useless spell can do.
Her hands continued to move as she spoke, and the pillar mercenaries began to retaliate. That was harder to coordinate, and for a few moments she was lost in the spell. It was effort well spent, though, and the dragonette's presence helped to strengthen it. She hoped Wyvra didn't take on more than he could chew. He might be a real, albeit somewhat malnourished and stunted dragon, and not the drakeling he appeared to be. But he was still fairly young and could still be hurt. It was something he tended to forget in the heat of battle. Claude tapped her on the shoulder.
Can you focus enough to get aboard?
He asked.
Or do I need to lift you?
Kaelin glanced at the wagon.
I can manage,
she told him, scrambled up the step and slid through the driver's space. The other mercenaries clambered aboard the wagons, and their leader made one quick check before he snapped the harness.
Get him rolling, he called. Her magic won't last forever.
He shook the reins again, and the horses broke into a trot, then a canter. Behind them, the second wagon followed, and the rumble of hooves and wheels echoed off the walls as they bolted to the safety of the final rest. Seconds later, a clatter was followed by a soft rumble as one of the pillars gave way under the bugbear's ferocious attacks. The building it had supported collapsed. That would have been a good thing if the structure hadn't collapsed against a second, which promptly tumbled into the road ahead of the fleeing wagons.
Damn it, girl! Claude swore. Couldn't you have chosen a stronger pillar?
Kaylin didn't bother to reply. She pushed to her feet and bounded into the rear of the wagon as the horses skidded to a halt.
Irma, Hadrick, Crovard, the leader bellowed. You're up. I want this road cleared before they get out of the mess they're in.
The three mercenaries were the strongest in the team. Irma, with her dark blonde hair and sun-coppered skin, was the strongest female among them. She wielded a hammer and shield and was matched in size and strength only by two men. Hadrick was a swarthy southerner with dark curly hair and deep blue eyes, and Crovard's brown hair was laced with gold chain and tucked in a tight braid that kept it off his shoulders. Irma's hammer was tucked in its hanger as she raced to the rubble and hefted the first piece, the two men not far behind. Soon, the three of them threw chunks of rock into the nearby ruins as if they didn't weigh a thing. Three other mercenaries joined them to shift the smaller pieces and clear the way for the stronger mercs to work. Kaylin reached the back of the rearmost wagon as Claude's voice rang out again.
Denier, Elliot, Enshaw, stay with her and don't let her get killed.
She scowled. There was only one her he could be referring to, and she wasn't that careless. If she hadn't been busy finding a vantage point on one of the high points of a nearby wall, she'd have taken the time to argue. The three mercenaries who had been designated as her protection hurried after her, but drew the line at climbing. They arrayed themselves around the base of the wall she'd chosen and drew their blades. When she looked toward the main body of the collapse, Kaylin realized Claude wasn't finished.
Cavil, Agarda, and Fiddler, covering fire,
he yelled, and the company's two access specialists and lead hunter scrambled into the nearby ruins to look for vantage points the same way she had done. They didn't go alone, though. Several more of the company's fighters accompanied them and took position on the ground below their chosen perches. The three archers drew their bows and sighted on the dust haze that covered the area where the pillars had been located. It didn't take long for the first bugbear to emerge. His black fur had turned gray, but his face was full of fury as he scanned his surroundings.
He doesn't look happy,
Wivra commented, and gave Kaylin a closer view of the bugbear's cut and bleeding face. No, he doesn't, she agreed, and summoned a flurry of colored lights in the remains of a building adjacent to where the enemy stood. He growled, hefted the heavy cleaver he carried, and shook himself. Dust flew off his armor, and he trotted toward the lights and moved more cautiously than she wanted.
They know mages, the dragon observed.
Now tell me something I didn't know, she snapped in return.
Most of them survived,
he replied, and she groaned. She peered over the edge of her perch and whistled softly to draw the attention of one of the mercenaries below. Elliot looked at her with a frown.
What is it?
Wivra says most of them survived.
And how would he know that?
Kaylin glared at him. He's much closer than you are, she responded sharply, and shifted higher so she could get a better look at what was going on with the bugbears. Unfortunately, the little dragon was right. The pillar's collapse had brought down the outer edges of the building, and the remaining pillars had been enough to stop the rest of the structure from collapsing around their heads. It was enough to make her consider studying the more powerful forms of her fire and lightning orbs. Those would undoubtedly have been enough to bring the roof down on them. The thought was tempting, but she still didn't want to spend the casting time and effort on the more violent spells when she could cast something more subtle and almost as effective. She snorted softly at herself. Illusions didn't kill her enemies and stop them from getting to her friends. She merely liked them. But she would have to consider the more damaging forms of spellcraft if she was serious about keeping her company alive. With those thoughts pushed to the back of her mind, she went to work. The sparkling lights hadn't fooled the bugbear warrior for long, and he emerged from the ruins again with his cleaver in hand and a snarl on his face. He barked something to the group that now appeared from the dust.
Oh, oh!
Wivra murmured, and his brilliant red form sank lower behind the rocks on the edge of his vantage point.
He's telling the others to ignore the pretty sparkles that the enemy is using to trick them.
Another voice roared through the city.
Tricks won't save you, mage. I'll have your drakeling for a snack and use you for the main.
Snickers greeted the declaration, and at least one warrior made suggestive movements as they scanned the surrounding ruins. Kaylin scowled. Oh, he thought so, did he? It seems Wivra hasn't roasted him enough. She swallowed her anger and resisted the urge to tell the dragonette to finish the job he'd started, as she glanced at the mercenaries who tried to clear the road. They wouldn't complete the task before the bugbears realized where they were. Her mind raced as she tried to think what to do next. Claude had followed her example and found himself a vantage point from which to observe their foe. He might not be as agile as her, but he didn't let that stop him from climbing to the heights to survey the battlefield himself. It didn't take him long to come to the same conclusion. He took mere moments to study the bugbears coming out of the ruins. Kaelin threw another set of sparkling lights to illustrate the problem Wibber had translated for her. She noted with satisfaction that the mercenary captain glanced toward the colored sparkles and observed the bugbears do the same. This time, none of them moved toward the intended distraction, and Claude nodded and raised a thumb to signal he'd seen it. She waited, not surprised, when a series of whistles was followed by several hand gestures that pushed all the mercenaries forward. Two remained with each wagon while the other half-dozen continued past them. At another whistle, they split into two groups of three, and each one moved wide to harry the bugbear's flanks. The mercenary leader shifted restlessly, and she felt a pang of sympathy. He was used to leading from the front and wouldn't find it easy to simply sit and watch, even if he could direct the battle. She noticed that he didn't try to direct her, though. He merely relied on her to do her best to help. It was his version of training. While she could do with a little less training under pressure, she was sure he would merely ask who had started the trouble in the first place. She returned her attention to the battle. The bugbears moved forward cautiously and turned their heads from side to side as they scanned the ruins. One glanced toward the three mercs moving on their left, and Kaelin wove a spell hastily to create another illusory wall between her teammates and the monsters. That might have worked better if a bugbear hadn't stared directly at the place where the wall appeared. He blinked, rubbed his eyes, and stared harder at the spot. Given that unlucky coincidence, she wasn't surprised when he shouted in alarm and stabbed a finger toward the three mercs who snuck up on them. Kaelin stood and spun a fire orb toward it. Avok Ka'anal! The projectile reached its target, spiraled around it, and brushed close enough to set the bugbear's fur alight. He dropped the axe he carried and began to beat at his smoldering hide. The two closest shaggy warriors ignored him and focused instead on the apparent wall, their beady eyes narrowed. She turned her attention to the second group of mercs, who now inched closer to a position slightly behind the bugbears. When she noticed this, she rolled her eyes, fairly certain Claude hadn't meant for them to put the monsters between them and the wagons. How would they retreat from that position? Still, it didn't matter what predicament they'd put themselves in. She would try to help them out of it. Quickly, she cast the spell they needed to cloak them from the bugbear's sight, then realized what they were trying to do. Of all the bone-headed, troll-witted, trolls-assed idiots! She hissed in disbelief as the three flitted slowly from pillar to wall to pillar, and their leader raised a loaded crossbow as they came within range. Oh, he isn't really... But the mercenary really was, and he rose from behind his cover to fire at the bugbear caster. A rock turned beneath his foot, and the arrow buzzed past the witch doctor and made him turn with a shout of alarm. At least her teammates had the good sense to run. They bolted through the ruins with several angry warriors in furious pursuit. The spellcaster didn't bother. He roared a single guttural word, and a ball of fire leapt after the fleeing mercs. It wasn't the same as her fire orb, but a fully-fledged, destructive, burning mass, capable of exploding in a fiery blast that would annihilate anyone in its radius. She held her breath as the three mercs separated and raced in three different directions. The fireball continued in a straight line before it exploded in a burst of flame and heat. One of the pursuing bugbears didn't manage to avoid the backblast in time and vanished with a howl of pain and burst of smoke. Another veered away, his fur alight. The others fell prone, and one twisted to shake a fist in protest at the witch doctor. He ignored them and moved his hand in a gesture to launch a bolt of lightning toward another of the mercs. Kaelin tried a new spell. It wasn't designed to conceal her friends, but to confuse the caster. She needed a powerful spell that would ignite the still-smoking remains of the witch doctor's loincloth at best, or confuse at worst. She pushed more energy into the embers, and at least stopped his casting, since he had to thrust his hands into his clothes to rip the burning piece off. Oh, she did not need to see what was underneath. Other movements caught her eye, and Thank the gods, her attention. Two bugbears cornered one of the mercenaries. She blurred his form and ignited a burst of sparkles in front of a monster's face. As he clutched his snout, the man dove to one side and narrowly ducked under the swing of the other bugbear's blade. He scrambled to regain his footing, threw himself behind another pillar, and bolted to join one of his friends. Together, the two of them began a steady retreat toward the wagons while they fought as a unit to enhance their chances. It worked well until one of the bugbears sheathed his blade in favor of a short bow. The first arrow thunked into a shield, but the second pierced the mercenary's shoulder and his sword slipped from his fingers.
"Don't you dare fall down on me!"
his friend shouted and shoved him in the direction of the wagons.
"Run!"
He flung his shield aside, grasped his companion by his collar with one hand, and used his sword to deflect the attacks from their opponents. The bugbear archer raised his bow again, and Kaelin threw a dazzling spell into his face. When he shrieked, she was reminded of the very good reason why bugbears preferred to be active at night. Her next dazzling spell flared brightly enough to cast shadows when it appeared in the faces of the two warriors who harried the mercenaries. As the creatures fell back and rubbed their eyes with the backs of their hands, her teammates managed to retreat far enough for others to intervene. She heaved a brief sigh of relief as the pursuing bugbears were met, engaged, and eliminated with brutal efficiency, and the injured man was helped into one of the wagons.
"We can deal with it later,"
he cried and looked behind them.
"I've had worse,"
he pointed frantically.
"And there's worse coming!"
The man beside him looked around and immediately recognized the danger. With a curse, he wrenched himself around and all but fell off the back of the wagon to sprint toward the closest knot of fighting. Kaelin glanced beyond the conveyances to see how much progress had been made in clearing the road. It still wasn't enough, she acknowledged grimly. She focused on the battle in time to dazzle another cluster of bugbears and change Brocknull's face to look like a hyena with its tongue hanging out. When the monster lowered his sword to point and laugh, the mercenary drove his blade through the bugbear's gut and wrenched it sideways as he danced away from the attack. The creature shrieked, fell, and clutched his stomach, but the merc had already turned to engage the next opponent. Another roar and a bolt of lightning sizzled toward the two and made both bugbear and mercenary alike dive aside to avoid it. Rock shattered and shards spewed to injure everyone nearby. One of the creatures fell when a piece of stone pierced his eye, and a mercenary dropped to one knee as another shard sliced into his leg. Her teammate was hauled to his feet and pulled back to where another of his comrades caught hold of him and hauled him in the direction of the wagons. The witch doctor launched another lightning bolt toward them, and both mercs dove to avoid it. Kaelin watched the spellcaster move his hands, and knew neither man stood a chance of escaping the blast radius of the fireball to come. He grounded his staff, and she realized she'd made a mistake. Whatever he was casting this time, it was much bigger than a fireball. Now she wished she'd taken the staff as well as the scrolls, because it looked extraordinary. Wisps of smoke rose from its haft and swirled upward in streamers of curling gray. These grew thicker and twined about each other as the witch doctor readied it for his purposes. Dark specks floated inside the smoke as though it drew its power from some infernal, ever-burning flame. Cinders? It was an odd thought, and she shifted to study the witch doctor better, her eyes narrowed in concentration. His one hand grasped the staff, but he raised the other as if preparing to guide the magic. She frowned, but was distracted from trying to decipher the gesture by movement in the ruins behind him. "Are there more?" she whispered, cast a wide-eyed glance at Claude, and wondered if he saw what she did. From his hasty look in return, he had, and wondered what she would do about it. "That's okay, Claude. I wonder the same thing." In all honesty, there was no way the magic she had could deal with so many bugbears all at once. The witch doctor's magic could, though. Kaelin held that thought. His magic could undoubtedly deal with that many opponents at once. All she had to do was to get him to use it the way she wanted him to, or maybe close to how she wanted him to. She snickered and used one of the spells she'd used in her duel against Sylvester. This time, however, she added a little of the magic she'd learned from the Elven book since then. It was less one simple spell and more three simple spells rolled into one, which was where the Elven book came in.
In that, she'd found the gestures and verbal components she needed to link the castings to one release command. This meant they would all activate together, which was exactly what she needed them to do. The spell that would make the witch doctor do what she needed took a few heartbeats to attach to the target, and she wanted him too distracted to notice. He looked powerful enough to shake it off if he was alerted to it. She needed him to be worried about something else for a short while. Her hands raced as she brought the sparkling lights and dazzling spell together before she combined those with a more powerful version of the confusion spell that had given her enough time to defeat Sylvester. Perhaps a little sooner than she would like, she stood and sighted on the bugbear caster.
Estreva!
As she spoke, she thrust her hands in his direction. A single bolt of white light surged from her palms, and the witch doctor glanced in her direction. He roared in anger and raised the staff, but her bolt flew fast and true, and he was too focused on deflecting it to retaliate. She knew that wouldn't last long and considered getting down from her vantage point, but she needed to see what happened next. The smoke that wreathed the staff flowed faster, and multicolored ribbons of gray speckled with flecks of black became thicker and stretched like tentacles or the thin petals of a strange flower. Kaelin didn't like the look of it, and her fists clenched and body tensed as she waited for some sign that the hidden spell had taken effect. He focused on the bolt, his staff lifted to block its path, but made no effort to move out of the way. Her spell struck the staff, and a brief movement of the witch doctor's hand directed the tentacles to engulf it. The bolt exploded, and a brilliant flare of color burst in an impossibly bright cloud before his face. The smoky tendrils rose to shield his eyes and lashed from side to side as he gestured with his fingers. The bugbear warriors had gasped at the explosion of color, but they began to laugh as their leader dispersed the lights, and the smoke shielding his face dissipated. Kaelin hoped the smoke hadn't also blocked the effects of her other spell, but she had to wait to know for sure. He closed his eyes, and his body swayed unsteadily. When he stumbled a little to his right, then to his left, the closest bugbears stretched their hands out to steady him. His response was immediate when the first one touched him, and she exhaled a sigh of relief. As the warrior's fingers closed around his arm, he transferred his staff to his other hand and punched the monster on the side of the head. This elicited a bellow of reproach, but he roared in reply and leaned into his comrade's face. The warrior stumbled back a few steps, and confusion and anger warred on his face. His leader ignored him and looked around, and his face split into a maniacal grin. Laughter cackled out of his throat, and he tossed the staff over his shoulder. While his warriors stared at him, the witch doctor clutched his stomach, and his body convulsed as though he was about to throw up. He straightened with a screech and belched fire to set the closest bugbear's hair and fur alight. The monster screamed and pitched forward. His face melted from the force of a second belch before the spellcaster spun away. He belched again and roared with pain when fire licked out of his nostrils and more flame erupted from his mouth. The mercenaries forgotten, his dark eyes focused on the closest of his warriors. One shouted in alarm and fell prone as flame seared through the space he'd occupied moments before. Another dove to one side and shoved a comrade out of the way of another gout of flame.
"They say he's gone mad,"
Wivra told Kaelin, and translated the comments he could hear from the enemies closest to him.
"One is protesting that the spell was more than colored lights."
She wished she knew which monster had said that, because he showed too much awareness and needed to be killed. Before she could pass that on, however, one of the mercenaries charged with removing the rubble shouted,
"All clear!"
And Claude whistled for the company to regroup. With at least a few more seconds before she had to bolt, she stared at the chaos she'd caused among the mugbears. Having heard the warning, the warriors had turned on the witch doctor. One had locked his arms around his leader's legs, and another dove forward to help him. A third and a fourth one tackled him, wrapped their arms around his waist, and toppled him sideways while they tried to force his mouth shut. He landed heavily, and more of the bugbears piled on top of him. Some tried to pin his body to the dirt, and others tried to gain a firm hold of his head. He shrieked and gibbered and interspersed his prattle with belches of flame and mad cackles of laughter.
"Girl!"
Claude's imperative call reached Kaelin from below, and she realized the rest of the company had reached the wagons and all stared at her perch.
"Don't make me leave you behind!"
"Oh, crap!" The young mage descended hastily and bounded lightly from her perch to a wall top and onto another piece of flooring.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?